This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
PM and time for Game On with Seat Williams. Once again, I'm Brian Feldman, and I am coming off the bench today for Seat Williams. Game On comes your way Monday through Friday right here on NBC Sports Radio, 9:20 the game, 3 to 4 p.m. every day. So if you're here and you've got an hour, hang out and keep me on my game. Before we start rolling, let me introduce the man behind the wheel of steel. He is Ari Mizrahi. Got that right today. I wasn't going to mess that one up, brother. Wasn't messing it up. If for any reason you don't get enough of me here, please feel free to check out my show called Out of Line Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 on our sister station, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, the radio home of the Golden Knights. And I also serve as the co-host of the UNLV basketball postgame show called Rebel Extra, starting this Saturday night after the regular season opener versus Florida A&M on our sister station, the sports leader ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM. Shows on all three stations are always streaming live on the Las Vegas Sports Network. You can follow me personally on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM. And please check out, like, and follow the Facebook page, which is called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. If you want to get involved with today's show, it's easy. Turn down your radio, pick up the phone, and call the NBC Sports studio line, which is 702-365-9200. Today, the next hour will be, for the most part, all about UNLV football and basketball. You'll hear Tony Sanchez, Marvin Menzies, and the student-athlete that looks to be the Runnin' Rebels' starting point guard in 2017, Jordan Johnson. To start the show, on the phone right now is my partner in crime, the host of Rebel Extra, Bernie Fratto. What's up, my friend?
Hey, Brian, you're right. It's a big UNLV weekend with BYU invading town tomorrow night, and then, of course, the Rebels begin basketball play against Florida A&M Saturday night, and you and I will do Rebel Extra after.
I'm looking forward to that. And before we get into basketball, which is the primary thing I want to talk to you about, you brought up football. And, you know, it's funny, Bernie, coming into town for senior night, which is tomorrow night, BYU. Now, normally when you heard that and you heard UNLV over the past several years, it would be an immediate L. Right away, I put it up there as an L at the beginning of the season when I saw the schedule. But this is a two-win BYU team and a UNLV team coming off of two straight wins for the first time in a while. What do you see happening?
Well, I think it's a coin flip game now. In the history, BYU's dominated this series. They've won 16 out of 19. They were only a dog one time in the entire history of this series, and they won outright. They're on their fifth quarterback. But they've played a brutal schedule, and I think they're better than their record shows. They're still very physical up front on both sides of the ball. And I think I'll be honest, I believe UNLV's got their work cut out for them, especially when they're looking to win their third straight game in a row. I think this is a coin flip game, and I think BYU will come and bring it, and the Rebels will have to be on their P's and Q's and play mistake-free football.
No question about it. What about a win over BYU? I mean, I think it's something, you know, I talked to Tony Sanchez. I'm going to hear that interview in a little bit on Tuesday after the press conference. And, you know, I asked him this, and I'll ask you this as well. A win over Brigham Young, even though, as you mentioned, fifth quarterback, this is not a typical Brigham Young team that we are used to seeing. We do have to take into account that they play a much tougher schedule than UNLV does. But still, it's Brigham Young, and you beat a team like Brigham Young. Does that instill a little bit of extra confidence?
I say yes, because Brigham Young's history for the last 30 years, actually the last probably 40 years since 1977, has been superb. They were quarterback factory. They put great quarterbacks in the NFL. They're routinely going to bowl games and winning. They've always played a tough national schedule and represented themselves very well. And they were even de facto national champs in 1984. They beat Michigan in the Holiday Bowl. So this is a program that's been long established and respected and a culture of success. And for UNLV to get a victory over them, particularly given the fact that BYU has dominated the series, is a feather in their cap any way you slice it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A football program built by the great Lavelle Edwards. Always just had a tremendous team there at BYU, and as of late, not so much. What do you think, Bernie, of the quarterback situation at UNLV? You know, something that, you know, it's eerie that it almost reminds me to a degree of a couple years back with Caleb Herring when, you know, Nick Sherry was the penciled-in starter guy. He could not get it done. They're losing 21-0 at halftime, or 21-3 against Central Michigan at halftime. They bring Caleb Herring in, who had been an afterthought and was pretty much disregarded as a UNLV football player at that point, comes in and ends up leading the team to their first bowl game in a long time. Do you see the same maybe fire in Johnny Stanton? I mean, a couple of weeks ago, he went to Sanchez and said, look, I know I'm never going to be a quarterback again. I just want to play. He gets on a special team. He blocks, I believe he blocked a punt late, you know, deep in his own territory. And then, you know, he goes to linebacker the following game, and he does a pretty decent job because they were a little bit thin at linebacker. And next thing you know, here he is at quarterback again. He is the hot hand. What do you do if you're Sanchez regarding the quarterback situation?
Well, I think Coach Sanchez has handled it perfectly. His quarterback went down, concussion protocol. Johnny Stanton gave them the best chance to win. He gets on the field against Fresno State, and he was superb. Second week, I think there's always sort of been a rule of thumb whereby you don't want your guy to lose his job due to injury, but you still got to perform. This isn't a situation in Division I athletics where you have a cradle-to-grave security. You have to perform. So Coach Sanchez went back to the hot hand, and the Rebels get it done for their second win in a row. So I think for now, he's got to start the guy that can help them, gives them the best chance to win right now and maybe get to a bowl game and get that fifth win and get them to 5-5, which after the Howard game might have seemed like a pipe dream. So I think Coach Sanchez has handled the situation very well. And so far, he's turned all the right dials.
Yeah, well, definitely the last two games. Like I told him Tuesday, and you'll hear that in the interview, that, you know, for the first several games of the season, and matter of fact, dating back to last year, I always seem to see a better UNLV football team in the first half than the second half, and that is not really what you want as a football coach. You want to see adjustments made, and you want a better team to come out of the locker room. The last two games, I have actually seen a better UNLV team in the second half than I did in the first half. Maybe not dramatically better, but better, and they won both games. Something they need to continue to do in the future. What do you see, Bernie? Three games left. Obviously, tomorrow, Brigham Young, you know, in a week, they go to New Mexico, and then they wrap up in Reno. They win two of those three games. They're bowl eligible. Man, it seems like a possibility right now, right?
Well, it is on paper. I don't prefer to think of it in those terms. I think their focus has to be 173% on BYU and only BYU. And if they win that game, then you've still got a couple of road games. New Mexico won't be an easy place to win, even though their quarterback's down. Bob Davies done a fine job with that program. And then you've got the Cannon game, and you throw out all the records. Reno, I think, is better than their 1-7 record. I've seen them play. They seem to compete. So I think it's foolhardy to look past the UNLV game for any reason. They're asking for trouble.
Well, I agree with that 100%, but at doing what we do, we always have to look past.
Well, that's fair. You know. That's fair. If you're asking me directly, do I think they're going to do it? No, I don't.
Okay.
But I'm paid to have opinions. That is my opinion. That doesn't mean that's my, you know, out not prediction, nor does it mean that's what I'm rooting to have happen. But I think it's going to be difficult to win two of those last three games. I do.
I can't argue with that at all. Let's transition over to UNLV basketball. Bernie, you know, I Marvin Menzies, I had him on Out of Line on Sunday, and talked to him. You know, a few things confuse me. Is one, the access to practice by the media is a little bit confusing to me. I mean, you know, it's his thing. But one thing that's not confusing is he had a pretty damn good year recruiting. And definitely in California, you know, I know that you look at some of these guys, Brandon McCoy, and you say, well, he didn't play in the greatest conference in high school. The kid's 6'10" and without question athletically gifted. But we haven't seen him yet, and, you know, really a whole great deal. We'll see him for the first time, I believe, Saturday night. What do you think, Bernie, of this team we put together? Because I told Coach Menzies, you know, you were given you're obviously given some leeway based on how you came aboard in a couple of years, but when you recruit like this, all of a sudden you create expectations, and to a small degree you paint yourself into a corner.
Well, on paper, again, they appear to have accumulated some pretty good talent. Brandon McCoy, a five-star kid, He should be a physical presence down low and a rim protector. Shakir Justin comes over. He's a National Junior College Player of the Year. That's nothing to sneeze at. He had 24 points and 7 rebounds the other night. And Amori Hardy from Farmington Hills, Michigan, a terrific point guard. I suppose I can name all the names, but we don't really know until they get on the floor. You mentioned Jordan Johnson. I think we're all looking forward to seeing Jordan Johnson play. He's a pass-first point guard who was second in the nation in assists at Wisconsin-Milwaukee a couple of years ago. You pair him up with Javon Mooring, that should be a pretty productive backcourt. But they still got to do it. Now, they've got some games on the schedule. You got a steady diet of Florida A&Ms and Prairie View A&Ms and Northern Colorado and Pacific and such. But then you've got Illinois and Rice and either Mississippi or Utah, and you've got Arizona and Illinois mixed in there. So they'll be challenged. Hopefully they can come out of the non-conference with a 7-6 record, meaning at least one game above 500. But it really starts for real December 30th at home against Boise State. I believe the Rebels have to make noise in the Mountain West Conference this year and have to win games on the road in the Mountain West Conference for people to really take this team seriously.
I couldn't agree with you more. How about a guy like Anthony Smith? What a unique situation.
The good
kid
dunker.
Never played in high school. I mean, you know, comes from junior college. One of the best junior college players of the year, according to Marvin Menzies, last year. But what do you think of this kid? I watched him, Bernie, the other night, and I'll tell you, he's got size, a lot of athleticism, and like you said, he definitely has hops.
He can dunk, yeah. Well, the one thing about this team is they're decidedly more athletic than last year. Last year was a bit patchwork for obvious reasons. You've had 9 players leave the program from last year's team. I mean, maybe we'll talk about that on the show Saturday because they're all over the place. By the way, for instance, for you Zion Morgan fans, he's now at Wabash Valley College, in case you were wondering. So 9 guys left the program. You've got all new faces. What you have to have happen is the whole become greater than the sum of its parts. They've got about 60 days to get that done before conference. So individually, you've got some players with pedigree that come from around the country in various backgrounds, but they're all going to have to get on the floor and act as a cohesive unit. But I do believe they're more athletic. I do believe they'll be better up-tempo this year. And one good thing, Friday night, Brian, they only took 13 three-pointers, which to me is a good sign. I mean, I remember covering some games where Jerome Seegers took 13-pointers, three-pointers in the first minute.
Hey, Javon Mooring only took 4, Bernie. I was pretty impressed with that.
You know what? I think he's going to get less minutes this year. He was averaging about 38 minutes. I think he's going to get about 28 this year, but he'll be maybe more productive. And I think if Jordan Johnson can get him in position to make some shots, the one thing I like about Javon Mooring is he is a gamer and a playmaker, and he's that X-factor guy that will come up with that play when you need it late in the game. He's a terrific, terrific competitor. So I think it'll be a good event all the way around that he now moves over to the number 2. And the Rebels have a true point guard. He's a point guard by trade. In the past, you know, guys like Anthony Marshall have done a serviceable job, but they've really lacked that true point guard that plays the position like a quarterback. You know, Isaiah Thomas once told me he believes point guard is the most important position in sports because one player with the ball in his hand can dictate the movements of 9 other people. So I think there's something to be said for that.
Interesting point. And a couple of point guards. I mean, this kid, Amari Hardy, who's out of Michigan, North Farmington High School in Michigan.
Yep.
This kid, Bernie, he had a few minutes on the floor, and it looked like he was a decent floor manager.
Absolutely. He's another good player, a 3-star recruit. And I think what this says is that the Rebels are going to have depth. I think 10 players got minutes Friday night. And that may well be the norm for a while, which is a good thing until they can settle into what Coach Menzies believes to be the most productive combinations and rotations and who works well the best together and who can defend the best and those types of things.
What are you expecting to see from this team? Again, here's the opinions that you're getting paid to make. What do you expect right now? Just Bernie Fratto, what does he say about UNLV's basketball team?
Well, if you had a gun in my head right now, I think they'll win 15 games. Remember, they have talent, but you've got a lot of incoming freshmen. And let's take a look at the Mountain West. I still say San Diego State and Reno are the two kings of the mountain, and they'll fight it out with Boise State and Fresno State right behind them. So right after that, you got Colorado State, and I don't care who you give Larry Eustace, they're going to be competitive. So the next tier will be the UNLVs, the Air Forces, the New Mexicos, the Wyomings, et cetera, and Colorado States. those will be the next tier of teams to unseat the top four or five I just mentioned. Now, can the Rebels do it? Sure they can, but they've still got to do it. And you've got a lot of new players on the floor and a lot of freshmen that are going to be getting significant minutes. And there is just no way to simulate the length and the rigors of a Division I college football season, your first year away from home. And a lot of times, Brian, you know, people don't understand how daunting travel can be in the Mountain West. When you go to Air Force or Colorado State or Wyoming, even Reno, play at San Diego State, these are tough arenas to play at. Some are tough to get to. They're hard to play in. Wyoming's at 7,500 feet, the highest altitude in America. It can be freezing cold. So these are tough road trips, and that's where the Rebels will have to make their bones. So my expectations are tempered, because until the Rebels and this inexperienced team that'll be, you know, taking this journey for the first time together and collectively, until they prove they can do it, it's pretty tough to simulate the kind of success and assume that they're going to have that kind, you know, be able to get the job done.
Fair enough. He is Bernie Fratto, Brian Feldman, Ari Mizrachi behind the big board back here. Bernie, one other guy I want to talk to you about, another guy from Detroit, another guy they picked up via transfer a year ago, and he's one of the guys that is returning along with Chekna Dembele and Javon Mooring that'll see significant minutes, Chris Clyborne. Now, last year we gave him a pass because he got hurt early on, seemed to lose his confidence a bit, and I was excited to see what I was going to see out of Clyborne this year starting. I didn't love what I saw Friday night. I saw some activity. He seemed like he was moving well, but 0 for 4 from the field, 0 for 2 from a three-point land. He did have 5 rebounds, but no points in 23 minutes, and that's not going to get it done.
Well, he didn't score any points, but I do like Chris Clyburn. I think that he's an energy guy. He's an excellent lane runner. He's active. He's a risk-reward type of guy. He'll jump passing lanes and come up with steals. He's always around the ball. He's always around the boards trying to get rebounds. He's active, and I like his energy. So he's an asset. Now, I don't particularly think, his offensive game is his best suit, but I do think he'll have a handful of games this year where he will score in double digits. He did it last year. He's not going to be your go-to guy in crunch time, but he's a guy on the floor that I believe is going to give him quality minutes because of his energy and his ability to be active on both sides of the floor.
They're going to need him, that's for damn sure. He is Bernie Fratto. Again, Ari is Rocky. Bernie, I appreciate it. And starting Saturday night, my friend, we do it all over again. I'm looking forward to it. Rebel Extra, we are on about a half hour after every Rebel game concludes, and it's about a 45-minute show. It is completely fan interaction, and caller interaction is a big part of the show. I'm looking real forward to it, my friend.
Yeah, me too, Brian. It'd be a lot of fun. It'd be another good season, and it's another journey, and, you know, the beauty of sports and UNLV basketball, it's the greatest reality show going, and you can script everything but the outcome. So we'll all be, you know, anxious to see how this team does this year.
Going to be interesting. Bernie Fratto, appreciate you, my friend. We're going to take a break. You are listening to Game On. Brian Feldman filling in for Seat Williams. We'll be right back.
Johnson the other way. Johnson down the right side. He spins, gets inside, lays it up and in. Jordy Johnson.
Now back to Game On with Seat Williams.
It's Game On, and it's not Seat Williams. It's Brian Feldman. I'm coming off the bench today for Seat. He will be back on Game On tomorrow here on NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. The show's on every day from 3 to 4. And you want to make sure to check this out. Again, we'll be back tomorrow. That was just Jordan Johnson. You heard him hit a layup in the game. Jordan Johnson, of course, the point guard that Bernie Fratto and I were alluding to a minute ago. He will be more than likely, at least initially, the starting point guard for UNLV this year. Had a good game against Alaska last week in 30 minutes, which led all players on the court, 30 minutes of playing time. He scored 15 points. He went 6 of 8 from the field, and that includes 2 of 3 from three-point land, 3 assists. If there was any area that could be improved, I guess he was 1 of 2 from the line, but otherwise, the kid looked really good, and looks like we got a legitimate point guard. After the game Friday, I got a chance to talk to Jordan Johnson. Then I had Marvin Menzies on Out of Line last Sunday, and Brian Shapiro joined me, so the two of us got to talk to Menzies, and again, Jordan Johnson. I'll let you hear all that right now.
So, Jordan, how does it feel, man? You had to sit out last year watching this team play, not been able to do anything about it. How different is it now that you're going to be an integral cog in this team?
Right right now. It was kind of weird being out there for the first time. You know, I was a little nervous the first half. I got through it the second half and just played better, I feel. But my role this year for this team is being a leader, vocal and by example. So that means even if we're down, I still need to be positive. And I know how I get sometimes, the competitor in me just want to just get mad and get angry, but I still need to just keep my positiveness and make sure we do good and make sure I lead this team and lead in a good way, in a positive way.
How valuable do you think it was being here last year, getting to know some of the guys like Chris Clyburn, Javon Mooring, other guys you play with, and already kind of having a home here at UNLV? Do you think that helps out?
Yeah, that helps out a lot because me, Chris, JoJo, we are really good friends off the court and on the court. So, like we got really good chemistry. I know what both of them are going to do. So, like, I could just throw the pass. I know they're going to be right there. I don't have any, like, doubts about it. So, that's a plus, having them out there on the court with me. I love having them out there with me.
Have you ever been in a situation like this where one year to the next, just almost a completely different team? I mean, you know, I look out there and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't recognize any of these guys from sitting in almost the same seat last year. Have you ever been in a situation like that where a team has completely flipped that much in one year?
Yeah, I have in my JUCO years. My freshman year, we had a team, and then the next year we had probably like a whole different team. It was just a couple new kids, though. Our base was the same, though. Like, our starting five was still the same, but the rest were, like, new people. And then I transferred to Milwaukee, and then that was a new setting for me, too.
This year, like you said, last year we had guys in all positions, but really the big issue was somebody to run the point. It looked to me today like we got somebody to run the point. This guy, number 24, seemed to be doing a pretty good job, but you come in, and like you said, you're kind of the man.
Yeah. Being the man, I don't want to say I'm the man, but, you know, I'm the leader. I want to lead this team in the positive direction and make sure we stay on top of things, make sure we listen to coach, make sure we do whatever they say needs to be done to win the game. I want to do whatever to win.
How has coach defined your role specifically this year?
My role is to lead this group because we're young, we're inexperienced, and I need to lead them in a positive direction and make sure we're good at all times because I'm a reflection of him.
What do you think we're going to see this year? What, in your opinion, what are we going to see from the UNLV Running Rebels?
This year you're going to see us guys run. You're going to see us guys run a lot, make a lot of shots. We always in the gym. Everybody's in the gym. It's crazy how much everybody's in the gym, but everybody's going to make shots. We all going to run, and it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be a show to watch.
That is Jordan Johnson, point guard, UNLV, joining us now on the telephone. Don't want to keep him waiting anymore. We have Coach Marvin Menzies. Appreciate you joining us this morning, Coach. What's going on, man?
What's up, B? Everything's good, man. Just having a little coffee, watching a little film, you know, enjoying the football win yesterday still. So life's good, man.
What'd you think of your point guard's answers to the questions there?
he's full of optimism, and he's got the right approach to what we're looking to do this year. You know, he's a great kid. You know, he sat out last year, and we had a chance to grow our relationship while he was practicing every day, and I think that was a big advantage for us. I was a little bit concerned with bringing in a guard or holding up a scholarship for 2 years for one year of actual participation, but it was worth it. This kid is, he's a good character kid. You're going to do 2 years with one to play. You better bring in a guy that's going to be on board. You know what I mean? So he is that. And, you know, with him having a lot of, I don't want to call it pressure because, you know, they're doing what they love to do. But the exterior pressure that can be put on, and you know, so how you handle that, I think, will be critical. And so I'm just making sure we keep him in a good place mentally to understand, hey, look, he's not going to play a perfect game every game. Nobody does. And just making sure we keep it realistic, but at the same time, there are expectations we need to work towards.
Well, I said that I think he's the first true point guard I've seen here since Anthony Marshall, and I don't even know that he was a true point guard, but I really like this kid's game. I like the fact that he finishes inside. He seems
to have great recognition of the players around him. And I think, Coach, one of the things that I like is the fact that he was here a year and got to get some camaraderie with the players, get used to the atmosphere, and it's not like just coming in. But I have to ask you, what is the key to your recruiting? I mean, I don't want to say you're painting yourself in a corner by getting these great players, but, Coach, you're getting some great players to come here to UNLV, and the expectations are going up as the more players you bring in.
Well, you want that, right? I mean, what's the alternative? I mean, you wanna have the pressure, the expectation. You just don't want to let it turn into stress. I mean, I think that my expectations are high, so you know, I want to win here, and I want to win at a high level. So let's face it, you know, it's all about players, man. You gotta have guys to do that. You know, the coaching doesn't play nearly a role that most people think. I think it's the character, the culture that you establish within your program, which, well, I guess the coaching has something to do with how you establish the culture, but the really got to have talent. And you can have great kids and straight-A students and go out in the community and do a great job, and they're still going to fire you if you don't win. So you got to handle your business on the floor.
Coach, how you doing? Brian Shapiro here. Congratulations, by the way, on the recruiting class. I mean, this is the first time a lot of people, fans, and including some members of the media, saw some of these guys on the floor, and I think you and your coaching staff did a phenomenal job recruiting. I wanted to ask you about Mooring. You know, you said a couple times last year there were games where maybe he didn't let the game come to him. How nice is it now to have a guy like Johnson on the floor, which will maybe allow Mooring to maybe pick his spots a little bit better?
You know, I've already seen it in practice, and I like the fact that they had a year to grow their relationship. You know, they're pretty tight, and that also helps, obviously. A good thing about Jordy is he's going to find whoever's open. He doesn't play favorites. He wants to win, and I think for JoJo's benefit, he's going to be able to grow as a guard, just in general, because he'll be able to slide over and play some one, which is the position he's going to have to play professionally, but not have the stress of being the key, guy at that position. And I think that he needs another year to develop that. He did a good job last year for us at that spot, but obviously everybody knows that, you know, he's a scoring guard. And so right. now we got to turn him into a scoring guard that's also able to play the point.
Coach, what concerns you most about this year's team, and what are you most comfortable with? I know it's early on, but as a member of the media, we don't have a lot of access, so I got to ask you.
Yeah, well, and there's a reason you don't have a lot of access. You know, you guys are brutal. You're inaccurate. You're. I gotta get you.
Man, I feel like Georges St. Pierre last night in the ring.
but no, in all honesty, I think that the challenges that we have are obvious. We've got a lot of new guys, you know, 6-7 guys. Actually, when you count the walk-ons who are great kids, the local guys, Nick and Noah, that have also joined us, that are with us every day and very much a part of our family and our development and practice. When you add all those new faces, you've got to figure out how you're going to live in harmony within your house. So that's one of the challenges. Fortunately, that's moving in the right direction. Always a little few bumps in the road, but nothing major at all. And then just the guys, the key guys, you know, the playing 7, 8, 9 guys, you know, chemistry on the floor together, knowing when to pass the ball to Shaq and when not to pass it to him, knowing who you can rely on to, you know, crash on the weak side and get you an offensive rebound, and all the little nuances that go into, you know, understanding how to play with a teammate on the floor. So those two things, just because of the newness, create, I think, the biggest challenge. I think you asked me also, what was I excited about? Man, I mean, it's obvious the upgrade in talent. We've got great kids that were here last year that were doing well. I just talked to Uche yesterday. Chris Jones is playing well overseas, and you know, talked to Jalen at St. Bonnie's. He wished me happy birthday a couple weeks ago. So still have good relationships with those guys and love them dearly. But these guys are just better players right now at this stage of their careers. And then the youthfulness to see guys like Mbake, who I think is going to be a really, really good player down the road, who's still learning and very excited about. Probably the last thing I would mention is that I'm excited about their attitudes towards getting better. You know, they really love to get in the gym, as Jordy mentioned, and that's a key, you know, for any coach. We only get so many hours out of the week we get to work with them due to NCAA, you know, rules. But if they get in and get up shots after, work on their game after, I mean, they put together shooting drills on their own on their days off, and they do things that championship teams do.
Jordy Johnson mentioned spending a lot of time in the weight room, and Chris Wynn actually just texted me saying he thinks Dembele, might be the most improved player in the Mountain West this year. What I saw with Cechna, and ask me if I'm wrong, I asked people this, and Mark Anderson said, no, not that much. I thought he was much bigger than last year. His arms were the size of my legs. I mean, he has definitely blown up a bit, right?
Yeah, he has. He was a big boy last year. Don't get me wrong. He worked hard when he first got here. When he first got here to the U.S. and he wasn't as defined and cut from as he is now. So that's the thing I think that makes it a little more pop out at you, because it's just the definition. And he is, but he is bigger and he is stronger and he's worked his tail off to get there.
Coach, I want to ask you about Justin. That was, you know, the other day, that was the first time I saw him play in person. And NBA body, great stroke, can shoot, you know, 10, 15-foot jump shot, great post moves. I think he has the ability to be an all-conference player. I really do. Can you talk a little bit more about him? Because I think he is an absolute key to your team this year and your success.
Well, the reason we went the JUCO route was, you know, we could have went all high school guys, but you know the dynamics of this city.
Right.
We don't want to make them wait too long, right? So, but at the same time, you want to put something together that's going to be sustained. So, you know, you can go through your roster and look at the young guys, the Tervell Beck, you know, who we call Nunu, and Jay, and the Bakke, and, you know, the future, those freshmen and sophomore. You can throw Sheck in there as well. But really, to get an immediate impact in this conference, you had to bring in, you know, a couple high level guys that mm-hmm. I think we got that in Amari as even though he's a young guy. I think we got that in Shakur and obviously Brandon McCoy as well. Shakur's, once you get to know him, you guys, you're gonna really really like this kid. Like, he's so humble, but yet very, very hungry at the same time, which is, you know, we always talk about that being a great combination, and he truly is that. And I think you're going to see his athletic ability is really, really good, but it's his competitiveness and his kind of will to win. I think I like that the most about him.
I'm looking forward to see him on the court with Brandon McCoy together. That's going to be something to see. He is Coach Marvin Menzies, head coach of UNLV basketball. Coach, we appreciate you coming on, and I'll see you at practice. And, oh, wait a minute. I won't see you at practice. I'm not allowed in, right?
Well, if you come in the first few minutes, I'll let you sit for, you know, a little bit. When we get into sets, I'm going to kick your butt out.
I'll do a few push-ups or something, man.
Hey, don't act like this is my first year. I mean, well, you can if you want to, because it kind of is. But you know the rules, bro.
I do. We appreciate you, Coach. We will see you next Friday night. Best of luck to you this season. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it, fellas. Take care, guys.
Now back to Game On. Seat Williams.
Not Seat Williams. That'll be tomorrow. I'm Brian Feldman. This is Game On. NBC Sports Radio 920. The Game. 3 to 4 o'clock every single day. Again, Seat will be back tomorrow. I'm filling in today, and pretty cool. Just heard from Jordan Johnson and Marvin Menzies again Saturday night. They open up their season. Looking very forward to doing Rebel Extra with Bernie Fratto Saturday night after the game. Make sure you check that out. That's over on the sister station, The Leader. That's 1100, 100.9 FM ESPN Radio. And I also had a chance this past Tuesday to speak to Tony Sanchez, and I went down to the press conference. Tony and I got together for a little bit afterwards. I spent about 10 minutes with him talking about this UNLV football team, what we have seen from the beginning of the season to now, and what we can expect going forward.
Coach, first and foremost, I want to congratulate you on 2 wins in a row. I know that's got to mean a lot to you. I know it's not a monstrous thing, but seriously, it's something that hasn't been done here in a while, so that's got to mean a decent amount to you.
No, it does. It, you know, means a lot to me because it means a lot to our players. I mean, they work so hard. And you ask a lot of these young men here and the people that you work with and work for, and it's really good to see it be rewarded. You know, I mean, it's we knew how difficult it would be turning this program around, but now to be sitting here, you know, with an opportunity. Coach Cedric said it. Cedric Cormier, as we were walking on the field, said November finally matters around here. So that's a good deal.
back in the fight, and, you know, we got a long way to go, though. You know, it's got a tough game this week, but very proud of everybody.
Take me through this season. Obviously, you start against Howard. I have no chance that was the way you thought about starting the season. But now, you're right around the corner. You, like you said, you're back in it. November means something. But take me through kind of chronologically through the season in your mind.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like buying a ticket to get on a roller coaster, you know? I mean, obviously, you go out week one, and you have an expectation to go out to win the game, and you don't. And it's a team that, you know, you should beat. You know, you do some decent things, but you make so many mistakes that they really gets in your way of having an opportunity to be successful. And it's a hard lesson and one that could be very, you know, devastating. And you know what? Our guys did a phenomenal job of responding. We went on the road, you know, played Idaho. I believe that was our first non-conference road win in many, many years. And it was a big win. We won handily in that game. And you only have a bye week, and you go to Ohio State, and you go play the Buckeyes. And you know what? We would love to play a little bit better. There's some things we could have done. But you know what? Our guys put up a good fight, scored 21 points, and, you know, great experience. You know, we played at a really fast level and, you know, saw one of the best teams in the land, and, you know, that should be momentum that takes you through, you know, as you go on through the season, and we did that. We had a great win against, you know, San Jose State, you know, got up on them good, and then, you know, the Sunday night you come back into work, and it's one of the most, you know, tragic things that you've ever been a part of and or heard about, and, you know, with the shooting here in Las Vegas, and, man, what an emotional couple of weeks that was, and, you know, watching our kids go through it, and, you know, and, you know, our city, and, you know, and I can't even compare it to what the families of the victims and the people who had loved ones that they lost, and that was such a big part of, you know, what went on around here, and, you know, we take that into the San Diego State game, and I think our guys played really well in the first half, really emotional in that game, and just a little flat in the second, and lost to a better football team, and they outplayed us in that game, you know, and then from there, our guys rally. I mean, we, you know, we're going on the road, we're fired up, you know, we're, you know, we've kind of had that, you know, opportunity to exhale a little bit out of a real emotional week, and we come out on fire against, you know, Air Force, and man, what a first half. Our guys were fired up, excited, took a huge lead, and slowly but surely watched that thing dissipate, and, you know, had a tough time, you know, getting off the field on defense, and gave up a big third and 24, and then looks like we're, you know, we got a chance to win the game at the end, and we're running down for a touchdown, and we fumble it back into the end zone. We recover that ball, we win the football game. You know, we stop them on third and 24, we win the football game, and, you know, we get two more first downs in that game, the clock runs out, and we win that football game, and it just didn't happen. So you go home with a heartbreaking loss. And from there, it's like, well, where are we going to go? And, you know, we come out, you know, Utah State. And actually, no, we won a game after that, didn't we? No, Utah State, right, was the next one. And, you know, heck, we got a hell of a game on our hands. 300-yard rushing in the first half. We're rolling. Armani gets hurt, and the whole thing comes to a screeching halt, you know. From there, we go on the road to Fresno, kept fighting, and went out and won a big game, and, you know, and then did it again last week. So, you know, I think the one thing that I'm really proud of is that we have a consistently focused football team that goes out and they look well prepared and they execute well in the first half of every single game now for what, 9 straight weeks. Obviously, we got to do a better job of being more mature. We eliminated all those mistakes we made, you know, in that first game, the penalties and, you know, the fumbles on special teams and some of the misalignments and, you know, turnovers that end up lately into touchdowns. We eliminated a lot of that stuff, and that's really what's kept it in all these ball games. And now, you know, with 3 to go, we have great opportunity.
You know, and I'll be the first to admit, I've been critical on the show, but the one thing I've been critical of is the second half, not the first half. I've watched you guys play tremendously well in the first half,
yeah.
But something I've seen in the last 2 weeks that has really been exciting to myself as a broadcaster, I'm sure to all UNLV fans, is the second half adjustments have seemed to change. We have seen, for the first time in the last weeks, I have seen what I thought was a better team in the second half than I saw in the first half. What do you attribute that to?
Well, part of that's the emphasis. You know, I mean, we made some changes. You know, we put Barney up in the box, you know, and I think that has helped us. We've held people a lot more accountable for the communication and what we're watching and what we're doing to make sure that just because it's working in the first half, that doesn't mean it has to be your plan in the second half. Other people are going to counterpunch, and sometimes, you know, when things are working, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, that ain't working. You know, we got to go ahead and break it and recreate the mold. Not just every day, but every single quarter and every single half. So I think challenging our guys to do that, and then our players understanding the importance of, you know, never settling and going out, and every single snap is just as important as the last. So no matter how good, how bad, you got to, you know, you got to snap clear and move on. And our guys have just done a better job of being more mature about it. And again, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a young football team. And as the season's gone on, they look like they've matured. They look like they have better situational awareness. They look like they're playing with more energy right now, and the communication's at a higher level, and just really the accountability's at a higher level.
The four fingers seems to mean a lot more in the fourth quarter now. They know what they're holding them up for, maybe more now. Coach, the adversity that you have faced, you know, and a big concern of yours has to be you come off these two wins now. You're playing a Brigham Young team, and you look at the record, and these guys all know the record too, and you think, well, this is a winnable game. It's still Brigham Young. There's still a mystique about that school. But how do you prevent a letdown now after two wins and prevent overconfidence?
Yeah, you know, I don't think our guys are going to be overconfident. We know we lived it. We went through it, you know, so we know what it's like to not feel real good about ourselves, you know, walking in the building and have to kind of get the courage up to go out there and have a great day of practice. And we've done that consistently. So it is, you know, it's college football stuff. And, you know, and I get it. It's fun to talk about and this and that. But people outside, they have no clue how hard it is to win football games. It really, really is. Everybody's on scholarship. Everybody's working. Everybody's got a plan. And sometimes, you know, what you plan for just doesn't work out. And you got to figure out a way to problem solve it. So this is a tough football team. I mean, there's a lot of guys on that roster that a lot of other people recruited. And there's a lot of talent on that roster. There's no way that, you know, anybody thought that they would. I mean, I think they're preseason ranked, you know. So to be where they're at right now is kind of an anomaly for a team like that. I heard Kalani Sitake say the other day they have a team full of Eagle Scouts and returned missionaries. So if you're an Eagle Scout and you've been on a mission, that means you got some toughness to you. So if anybody thinks they're going to quit, they're crazy, and we're well aware of that. So we got to go on out, and we just got to play our game, and our focus now and always has to be on ourselves and our ability to go out and, you know, and play good Rebel football.
Three games to go. Two wins get you in. People look at the schedule and say all three games are winnable, and they'll also look at the schedule and say all three games are losable.
Yeah.
Where do you feel your team is at right now? What do you love about it, and what do you think you need to improve the most on?
Well, I mean, that's Mountain West football. There's nobody elite, you know, in our conference. Everybody can beat anybody on any given day. You know, you look at, you know, back the beginning of the season, and, you know, it's a dogfight between Boise and New Mexico all the way back and forth. And, and you know, you look at a Fresno team that just, you know, really just does a great job and handily beats Fresno State. And a couple weeks later, we go beat Fresno State. So there's no rhyme or reason. So you really know that you better be humble in your pursuit of winning ball games around here. What do we need to do? You know, the thing that I like right now is we're playing with a great level of energy. We've become a better, more efficient passing football team, which has led to us being better on third downs, which has led to us having more time of possession. We got to continue to do that. Our coverage teams, we got after them pretty good after that Utah State game. The last 2 weeks, we've done a good job of running and covering, and we got to continue to do that. We've got to get our kickers healthy. That's been an issue. We got to get those guys healthy. And, you know, and then defensively, just eliminating big plays. You know, it took, I mean, you know, there's not many teams that just shut people out nowadays. I mean, you're going to have to score points to win games, but what we can do is give up cheap touchdowns. You know, again, you go back to that Utah State game, one of the biggest things that got in the way. I mean, really, the reason you don't win that football game is because you cover kicks poorly and you give up two freebie touchdowns in the passing game. You take those four plays away, it's a whole different ball game. So we've been there before, and you know, our guys have learned from it, and you know, easier said than done, but we're going to have to do that consistently as we get through and then get some of these injured guys back.
Best of luck to you, Coach.
Thanks. Go.
Now back to throw. Stanton looking, pass over, caught by Presley at the 40. He's got an open field. 20-10 touchdown Rebels. A 52-yard strike to Brandon Presley, and the Rebels now have tied the game with a point after coming up.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
It is Game On. I'm Brian Feldman, pinch hitting for Seat Williams today. Game On is here every Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. Make sure you check that out. Also, make sure you check out Rebel Extra. Of course, the Rebel basketball game starting Saturday. They will be playing at the Thomas and Mack, 7 o'clock, against Florida A&M, game one of the season. And Bernie Fratto and I will be on after on the Sports Leader, our sister station, 1100 100.9 FM. And, of course, my show every Sunday. Would love to have you as a listener, follower, tweeter, whatever. It's out of
line, and that's Sunday mornings on the other sister station. We got a lot of sisters here. That is Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 98.9 FM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. Again, I'm Brian Feldman. I've got Ari Mizrahi behind the big board. And what's going on, man? You hardly said a word today. We're running out of time.
Multitasking.
You are back there just, I mean, if you could see the wheels of steel right now, they got smoke coming off them, man. It looks like a morning in Detroit, like 6 o'clock in the morning on a dew-filled day, man. It's just smoking all over the place in here.
That's
listen,
me.
What do you think, Ari, real quick? Are you happy with what you see? I know you're a UNLV student, a former UNLV student. Are you happy with what you see, the football and basketball team, the direction they seem to be going in now?
Yeah, I mean, somewhat. That's a pretty vague question if you think about it. But, yeah, generally, I would like to – I'm interested to see what happens with the football, actually, as far as like getting a bowl. I mean, I know it's a tricky situation.
6-6, you know, I know
it is possible, though.
It is. Well, I know Bernie Fratto doesn't, you know, and what he said is exactly right. I mean, after what they've seen and the inconsistency this team has shown over the past couple of years, yeah, they've won two straight, but it still is hard to think they're going to win two of three more games. And if they did that, that would mean they went 4-5 to close the season. That would be a monumental feat for Tony Sanchez and for the Rebels right now. I don't know if they can do it either. I think a key, it starts tomorrow night. They've got to find a way to beat this Brigham Young team. And again, I know they're on their fifth quarterback, and I'm speaking of Brigham Young, not UNLV. Armani Rogers is back and healthy and able to play, but I think Tony Sanchez is going to ride the hot hand. And my friend Brian Shapiro was on with me on Sunday. We bickered back and forth about this, where he has just been like Stanton, Stanton, Stanton. I still feel Armani Rogers is more than a serviceable quarterback. I think he's very athletic. I think he's got a big arm. He has to get some consistency with his passing. He's got to start hitting his targets better, but he's a redshirt freshman. Johnny Stanton, I agree right now. Brian, I know you're out there listening. I agree with you. Stanton is the answer right now. We'll see how he does tomorrow night, and of course then New Mexico in a week. In a couple weeks, it wraps up for the Fremont Cannon that they're trying to get back in Reno, and that game could very well be to go to a bowl game. Listen, we are out of time. Again, I'm Brian Feldman. It's been absolutely my pleasure being here with you the last couple of days. See, Williams will be back in this seat tomorrow on Game On. Again, don't forget Rebel Extra after every UNLV game with Bernie Fratto, out of line every Sunday. If you like the show, tell your friends, as Bernie would say. If you don't like the show, well, tell your friends anyways. This is Game On, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. I'm Brian. He's Ari. We're out. Whoop.